This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
This is a podcast from BBC Studios, a commercial subsidiary of the BBC.
Hey, I'm Kay.
And I'm Kate.
And this is The Magic Ingredients.
A show where a celebrity brings an ingredient and we make a meal of it.
We do actually make a meal of it.
We make a meal of it.
Yes, an actual meal.
An actual meal.
Not that we create a bit for us, but we do that too. Anyway, this is another week in lockdown for us.
It is. We're still in our living room. Now, we've got, our neighbours are doing a bit of DIY, like everyone else in the country at the moment, I think.
Yes, they are, and they're making an awful lot of noise. So if you hear some banging, it's them, I promise.
This week, we're talking to Ore Aduba.
Yes, who won Strictly a few years ago.
He did.
And really, really nice guy.
He is a really nice guy, and he brought us a really unusual ingredient.
Talking of unusual ingredients, so this ingredient was quite unusual, but very hard to get hold of. And obviously, at the minute, lots of things are very hard to get hold of.
They are.
So, Kate, what are you missing the most that we can't get hold of at the minute?
Pasta, maybe. That's a bit short supply sometimes.
I know. I'm very sad about this. Yeah. I think I'm missing, like, the usual array of fresh fruit that we have.
Fresh fruit and veg, yeah.
Because Mr. Supermarket didn't have any this week, and it got substituted. Yeah. And I'm really looking forward to hearing the most ridiculous substitutions that people have had.
That could be interesting.
It could be. Anyway, we digress.
So we recorded this back in February.
Yes, which seems like an age ago, wasn't. No. But it was back when life was normal.
Yep, it was. And it was back when Ore was performing in his show, Curtains.
It was, alongside Jason Manford, who we also talk about. And yeah, it sounds amazing, and I'm pretty sure it'll be back soon. Here we are, talking to Ore about his magic ingredient.
So I've picked yam as my magic ingredient because I as a kid growing up with Nigerian parents, staple part of the diet. And I think we used to have yam and corned beef stew every Sunday. It was pretty regularly for as long as I can remember. And then it just stopped. And then we became fully westernized and fully fledged West Dorset kids. And it was all scrambled eggs and sourdough.
Oh.
So when you and your lovely team asked me to come on your podcast, I thought, well, what's, you know, the magic ingredient, I guess, is the idea that it's either something that you love cooking with or something that you just has just fallen off the radar.
Yeah.
And I thought yam has such a connection to my upbringing and to the culture of my family and everything. And I've completely lost touch with it. Plus, I thought, I haven't got a clue how to cook yam. I don't even know what it looks like anymore. So I did the Google search and I went, don't, hold on, you're... Yam, yep. And sweet potato, same family. You are screwing up my whole life of what right? I thought it was.
So to people that are listening, a yam is kind of massive.
Well, apparently a yam can come in a size from a regular sized potato to 5 foot.
Really?
Five foot.
Wow.
That's like a tall.
Please tell me in the other room you've got a 5 foot yam that you're going
to
reel in.
We joked earlier and we were like, imagine if we asked them to bring it with them.
He came in like dragging this 5 foot
phallic looking vegetable.
So lucky I bought a root rack. Well, when we used to have it, and it's pretty darn bland. It is. But I guess you could say the same with a potato. Sweet potato, less so, because by its very nature, tis sweet. So I think my mum would, she would peel it And then she would chop it up into like these, because she'd chop them up into sort of cylindrical slices and then just whack it in the saucepan with a bit of salt. And as simple as that. So it just did just come out as these white sort of large discs. And we would have it with this tomatoey corned beef stew. And that was dreamy.
Did you enjoy? I was going to say, like, is this like a childhood dish that you really like? Or was it something that you were like, oh, I'm glad that's in the past?
No, I mean, like I said, as soon as you start getting the flavours of scrambled egg and sourdough, smashed av, which did not exist in the 90s. So I'm making that up. But it was perfect. You know, it was kind of, I guess it was old school in the way that you think about how people used to eat, you know, decades ago. You know, Sundays would always be a bit more of a ceremony, a bit more of a routine. And it just was what it was. Yeah. I don't, you know, we didn't have loads of other choices that we were thinking about. So the fact that Sundays were sort of yam and corned beef stew, and actually it was probably the only day of the week where we would all sit around a table and eat, because my mum would cook it up. She would dish it up. We'd be sat around the dining table, which I remember was in what turned out in the end when we refurbed the house was my bedroom, and it was a tiny bedroom, let alone having six people around a dining table waiting for yams. Give us the yams. Like chomping their fork and knife on the table. I love the ceremony of it. I love the fact that it was one of the few times where in our house it was a thing that we all sat down to do.
Yeah.
So it became quite important in that. I mean, I'll taste it now and I go, gosh, this is horrible. What we do eating that for years? But that's where you guys come in, Kay and Kate.
Yeah. I think for us, like, Kate, so this recipe's been knocking around our test kitchen for a little while.
Yeah. So what we're going to do is a baked yam tempura. Tempura.
Oh!
See, now tempura. We're going to have a big debate whether it's tempura or tempura, but tempura.
I don't care. I'm excited.
But also, I've got some sweet potato as well, so we can
compare and contrast.
Compare and contrast.
Oh, this is dreamy.
With a sriracha mayo. So I've got our yams, which are these ones, and sweet potato there, and broccoli, which I've coated in some corn flour with or cayenne pepper seasoning, or chilli powder, seasoning, garlic powder, and then some egg white, and then panko breadcrumbs. So we're going to pop it in the oven now, about 20 minutes.
And then
is that
out.
It? Just yeah. 20 minutes?
That's it. Should be about 20 minutes. And then
no boiling, just shot.
And what was the thinking, Kate, behind breadcrumbs and not the deep-fried battering?
It's just a bit healthier, really.
Okay.
Less calories. It doesn't soak up as much oil and as if you were frying them.
So. But how do you replace the flavour of that? Because I love a deep fry, and I can tell you.
Doesn't everyone?
Don't they just, you know?
Doesn't everyone?
I won't get into life on tour just yet because I know we'll touch on it, but I am not one for eating healthily right now. So how are you? So I'm just intrigued because I would go for deep fried every time, but as long as it's.
I think it's actually easier.
Yeah, if people are just doing it at home, it's easier than. I mean, you can do it in an air fryer as well. So it's a lot easier than getting your own chip pan out or deep
fry. And you'd have to do it in small batches. And if you've got kids knocking around, like oil and kids doesn't go together well.
I can't wait.
It is. It's pretty nice.
You know what you said about kids and oil don't mix.
Yeah.
To me, I haven't actually mentioned this. I broadcast this to anyone ever really, but I had an accident when I was about 6 years old in the kitchen, and it was while my mum was deep frying. She was deep frying some plantain.
Yeah.
So talking about traditional sort of West African stuff, what we used to call dodo or dodo with the accent. I'm 100% anglicised these days. So it's basically, you know, like fried bananas. And she was frying these away. And I had a friend over that was come to stay. James Braund was his name. And after friends would come and stay at our house, my mum would always give him like a sweet or a lolly to go home with.
Yeah.
Who wouldn't want to come around their doobers, hey?
I know.
And, but strict rule, they weren't for me. It was just for your friends. So I remember James had come around, we had a lovely time, and his mum came to collect him. And it was the same drama we'd have every time somebody comes round. So James's and lollies for you. For me, No. And so I remember my mum going to the front door. James's mum was at the car. And because, so when I was six, I'm still greedy now, but it showed much more when I was back then. And I didn't even bother saying goodbye to James because I'd got fed up.
You were like,
I was like, this is ridiculous, mum. What is this? Why? Basically, you prefer them to me. That's how I translated it. Aww. So I remember James and my mum going over to see his mum, and they left me in the house. And she would keep these sweets on top of the kitchen cupboards.
Oh.
Right. And then you can imagine this is like in a scene of a film. Like I was there reaching, like with a hand, like shaking, almost got the prize. And I slipped. And my arm went full flesh into the chip pan,
into the
boiling oil, and received this burn on my forearm.
Oh my God.
So that is my greed scar, as I like to call it. That is my word of warning. And I'm, at the time, I mean, it sizzled.
I bet.
I can't even. My mum came pretty quickly back into the house from the screen that something had happened. And a pretty nifty trip down to A&E. But lesson learned for myself, and also, just give me a sweet, mum.
There we go.
Yep.
Just give me a sweet.
Just a lolly. Just a lolly.
It would have saved a lot of drama for everyone. I don't blame her. She might well blame herself. So I don't need to. But yeah, you're right. Chips, oil, and children do not mix.
I think one of the questions that I have that probably other people have asked you, which isn't so much to do about the musical, but more so Jason Manford.
Because
Jason Manford was unveiled as the Hedgehog.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we can talk about this now. Yeah.
The Hedgehog?
Yeah.
Did you know?
He may have let me into a very, very select circle of trust.
Oh, wow.
On that one. Yeah, yeah. Wow. So he's...
Because I'm quite proud of the fact that I guessed correctly.
Did you? Yeah. Quite early on?
Yeah, she did.
It was one of the very few that I got.
I couldn't watch it. So I'm having to sort of garner little clips, and my wife was sending me something, and I couldn't really get a picture of a show that I knew I would have been obsessed by.
Yeah.
So we were kind of in this bubble. When it really came to the fore was when we were in Sunderland touring, and we were staying in Newcastle, and in one of the days before a show, we went to go and watch a film. So we were going into this cinema or this sort of kind of entertainment park, and what was amazing about The Masked Singer is how it seemed. My mum is 74, I think, and she doesn't love much telly. She still hangs out on ITV3.
Death in Paradise.
She's crazy for that stuff. Won't really deviate. Masked Singer. Oh, I love it. I love Queen Bee is my favorite. She's my favorite. I love Queen Bee. All right. What's happened to you? And so all kinds of different ages. So we were going to the cinema, and obviously walking with Jason, he's a very recognizable guy. And we burst through these doors, and a couple of ladies who must have been in their 80s, but still full of life, sprightly, went, "Oh, Jason, lovely to see you, lovely to meet you." He said, "Oh, lovely to see you, how are you doing?" "Very well." And they went, "You aren't that hedgehog, are you? You're that hedgehog. You are, aren't you? You are." And it just blew my mind. But at that point, we knew, so we had to sort of scuttle off without saying anything.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
So yeah, you're in a musical at the minute, which
yeah.
I have been looking at this quite a lot.
Really? Why are you saying it so tentatively, Kate?
Yes.
I knew we were going to get on.
We're musical fans. Kate more so than I think I'm a late comer to the musical thing.
I'm a proper musical fan.
Kate is like, she's in there.
So yeah. I think you would love Curtains for that reason, because it's so traditional in that idea of musicals. It's kind of a throwback to the golden era of musicals. And it's written by Candran Ebb, who wrote Chicago and Cabaret.
So
you know the calibre of music is like second to none.
But yeah, like, how do you cope eating on tour?
No, I'm doing really bad. I remember at the start of the tour, so we've been on tour for... Well, we started in September rehearsing.
Wow.
It's now February.
I think it's February.
Yeah.
I'm not sure either.
In and out of the weeks of tour, you really don't. It's only whether it's cold or not cold. That's
and it's
you
been very
really,
cold since September.
Yeah, that's what you can
windy.
Really get your head around. Yeah. So I started at the start of the tour thinking, okay, well, I need to make sure that my portions are good, even if I'm eating out, because, you know, you go to bed late. Because the show finishes about 10:30. By the time you got home, it's 11. You may have gone for a drink. That's 11:30, maybe midnight. Yeah. So getting up is you're not doing it quickly.
What time do you usually get up when you're on tour?
Maybe, well, because I was trying to clock in at home with my wife and my son, and he gets up about 7:30. So I'd probably wake up with him, get a phone, get a FaceTime on, and then go back to bed, which
you,
is only prolonging
the duvet
it.
The duvet fell on you.
Just, I'm looking at this. Oh, wow, I just fell unconscious all over again. So it might be somewhere between 11:30 or something. And then you're sort of looking for... I mean, one of the guys in the cast, Becky, who plays Carmen in our show, and she's a complete musical theatre supremo. She's amazing. She's been in Cats, and been in Mamma Mia, been in Phantom... and some newer musicals as well. Heather's the musical, and she's brilliant. Anyway, so you're going to take her word for what you need to do. She is like, because
she's
you're
been there,
late,
she's
been there,
she's got all the t-shirts.
It. She's like, when you wake up, you just want to have, best thing to do is have one big meal, because you don't want to eat too close to the show, especially if you're getting sriracha sauce on the go. That's a recipe for disaster. So you have one bigger meal in the day, which is why brunch became such a big thing. And then by the time it's 5, you're still pretty full up. So that's why it would then start unraveling, because I'd go, okay, we've had a big meal. Let's go big on brunch. Let's have a massive sweet corn and bacon stack. And then I won't eat again until the next day. And then after the show, the munchies.
Yeah,
and then walking past the Golden
Arches. Because all that adrenaline, I mean, do you get nervous? Or are you like a total pro and you're like, I can do this, this is fine?
No, I think especially after having done the show for a long time, you know, the rhythm of it, you get into a groove and the muscle memory takes over.
Yeah.
I was out of the show for 10 weeks over Christmas because I had a break and then I went straight into panto. I was doing my first panto in Croydon. And then I came back after that to do my first ever shows in the West End, when the show was in the West End.
Wow.
So I hadn't done the show for 10 weeks and then came back to do the show, my first ever West End role. And I went, what? I don't know if I can remember it, but it's tonight. And this show is 2.5 hours long. What's my first line? We went through some of the scenes and Bob's Your Uncle, it was all still there. It's amazing what the mind can do. That doesn't answer the question, because I was absolutely bricking it. I was absolutely in all sorts of bother, worrying.
So West African cuisine obviously was your life growing up.
It was definitely a part of it. It wasn't quite quickly, actually, because the school that I went to a prep school and then a private school. Not all the food that I had was West African, but when we did have it, it was either plantain or it was yam or it was, there's another, it's a grain that I don't know if it was just affectionately called it was just easy to pronounce, called Gary. Others from the community will know. That's literally, it's like a bowl of Gary.
Yep. Because my Gary, yes, it would not be a grain.
No,
but
no,
yes, let's leave that different. One out.
So, and Gary, you could either have it, you could have it sweet or savoury. So you would have it, if you were having it as a main meal, you would boil it and it would become like a bit of a paste and almost mould it like plasticine.
Is that the one that you take pieces off and you eat it with stew?
Yeah, so that's that's Emma. That's what you have as Emma. Yeah. But otherwise, you could have Gary with water and sugar, and you could almost have it as a sweet. And that would just be with you, just spoon it, and it'd be lovely. So that's what we'd like.
The sound of
that was really, really nice, basically because it was a bowl of sugar. And as a kid, this was okay. So we went for that. But actually, I kind of disconnected with it because, one, I didn't do loads of cooking growing up. I didn't have loads of interest in it. And obviously, that imparts how you become when you grow up and how much of it remains in your life. But my sister sort of reconnected with it recently. She used to do a supper club because she wanted to reconnect with the food. She just thought that, I think right now there's a lot of, especially with the supper clubs, people are really looking for food identity, aren't they? Rather than it just being a bit of everything and trying to cater to everybody. It's like, this is what it's going to be. We'll definitely be able to find 16 people that are really enthusiastic about this food, sit them around a table. And so she has Nigerian food with a bit of a modern twist. Yeah, I think it does. It definitely does. Has made an impact in our lives as a family. Some more than others, but it's totally the reason why I thought we have to have a nod to it to my childhood when I come and meet you guys. And
do you think it's cooled down?
Yes, I'm sat here. And
We're salivating. I'm avoiding the main ingredient. May I?
Yeah, no, okay. Of course you may.
Give me some yam first.
Okay, this is.
This is like the test. We're not going to watch you eat, we are going to watch you eat. I apologise.
Smell it first. It smells
really,
lovely.
Really nice.
Do you know what? I've just dipped it in the sriracha first, but what I'm going to do is have the other corner and have it without, just because I'm really... Because I haven't had yam
that's
in forever.
Did your recipe work,
Kate? Oh, that's lovely. Mm.
Oh, really nice.
That's really nice. It's like, we've given yam a bad name. We certainly did at the start of this chat because there's so much sort of, it comes to life when it's been cooked. When it's uncooked, it's bland and it's boring. But especially with your breadcrumbs that you've added in there.
So
sriracha's really.
We kind of,
quite nice.
We were thinking of descriptors for this, weren't we, over the weekend? Yeah. And the way that I described it is it's like biting into a fish cake because it's like that texture, but it's like you get the crispiness rather than it just being
it's got like a firmer texture than a potato or a sweet potato.
It's really nice.
I think it'd be a really good substitute for vegetarian.
Yeah.
To replace meat in some dishes.
Yeah, you were saying that the weekend because it is really
so
substantial.
And it's quite dry.
So you forget your sweet potato steaks. Have yam steaks instead.
But it's still quite fluffy. I'm trying to make my own comparisons looking at it. I'm thinking, what? There's something that I know that's kind of... It's quite light, but it's got a kind of starchy feel to it. And I remember it. It's yam. That's what I'm thinking of. Because of the five-footed nature of the knobbly yams, I've not had much in my house, but it's so easy. It's so easy to just rack up a load of yams.
Pop it back in the fridge.
Yeah.
And it keeps pretty well, actually. We've noticed that it's kept pretty well in the fridge. We're quite impressed.
Well, that was the thing in our house. So in the corner of the kitchen, you would have onions and potatoes. And yams, just like this load of yams, I just use them as doorstops. Because they're so bloody heavy, they're not going anywhere, and they'd be there for months. So they do keep really well.
Well, yeah, thank you so much for coming in for us to cook for you.
Do you want me to stop eating?
I think.
I can hear you saying goodbye to me, and it's like you want me to leave, Kate.
No,
I've loved it. This is such a really it's crazy because it doesn't it's absolutely not would have been on the table in my house. But there's so much nostalgia just from the flavour coming through, and this new things that you've added to it. So
now maybe when you think of yam, you'll think of tempura too.
I will. And I will also think of you two on a yam hunt in Birkenhead. Yeah.
But yeah, thank you so much for coming to talk to us.
And introducing us to yams.
But yes, thank you so much.
Absolute
and I'm glad
pleasure.
That we fed you and that you enjoyed it. At least you said you did.
Hey, you've made a greedy son of Nigerian parents very happy.
So that was Ore, lovely guy.
It was. He's welcome back any time to our kitchen, literally any time.
Yeah, he is. And then we just...
I love it when you agree with me. It's hilarious. Yeah, he is welcome.
Well, no, he's not. Never talking our door again, am I?
No, he is welcome back anytime. But also, he talked briefly about corned beef, which brings me to our question of the week from Ellie, mm-hmm. who is wondering what she can do with tinned food. Because obviously, everyone's got quite a few tins in at the minute. Mm-hmm. And yeah, they want to know what to do with it. And it got me thinking of, in fact, when he was talking about corned beef, he mentioned about yam stew with corned beef. And I was like, yes, corned beef hash.
I knew you were going to say that one.
Did you?
Yes.
How did you know this?
Oh. I just did.
Oh.
I know everything.
Is it because we talked about this briefly before? So clever. But yeah, Kate makes the best corned beef hash. It's official. And I could eat it all day, every day. In fact, we've had it for breakfast, and we do sometimes have it for breakfast.
With a fried egg on top.
Oh, yeah, a crispy egg. Oh, there's nothing back when the bottom's crispy and the yolk's still runny, and it's just amazing.
So maybe for anyone that doesn't know how to do corned beef hash, it's a tin of corned beef crushed up in some mashed potato with some onions in there, and you fry it off with a nice crispy golden outer with an egg on top, fried egg on top.
Dead easy.
Dead easy.
Have it. What would you serve it with, Kate?
Beans. Tin. Beans.
Yeah. Yeah. Tin. Yeah. Oh, beans. Tin. If you're feeling a bit posh, maybe beans with sausages in too, if you want another protein sauce. Mm-hmm. But yeah. Oh, yeah. I think, can we have it for dinner tomorrow?
Maybe.
Please. Anyway, I think we need to carry on here because we're rambling ever so slightly.
Yes.
And next week on The Magic Ingredient, Kate, who've we got?
Candice Brown.
Who is Candice Brown, Kate?
Candice Brown won Bake Off.
She did. She owns a pub. She's written cookbooks.
Cookbooks.
And yeah, she popped in to say hi with her magic ingredient, which is pretty epic. And if you don't want to miss it, then you should subscribe.
You should.
And if you don't subscribe, you better have a really good memory.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, let's go. I think that's a good idea. We'll see you next week. Bye.
Bye.